Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. The Word of God that we shall read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." This is the word of the Lord. We have just celebrated the Reformation of the Church, beginning on October 31st, 1517, until his death, nearly 30 years later. Martin Luther boldly confessed the true faith in preaching, teaching, and writing, providing the church with wonderful catechisms, beautiful hymns, and a sterling example. He was an inspiration for millions of Christians all over the world, and he still is. The Reformation is a tremendously important event. You really can't understand modern times if you don't know anything about it, but it is not simply a matter of hero worship or a matter of historical investigation. Those of us who still celebrate the Reformation of the Church that God brought about through his servant Martin Luther do so not because we think that Luther was infallible, but rather we believe that the teaching of that Reformation is the teaching of the Word of God. Not only that, the reason we celebrate this event, which started with a nailing of the 95 Theses on October 31st, 1517, on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany, nearly 500 years later, is because the truth is vital. And the truth that Luther discovered in the Bible is vital for us today. Some have summed up the truth of the Reformation by a Latin phrase, sola gratia, sola fide, and sola scriptura, translated grace alone, faith alone, and scripture alone. And the text that we read from St. John's Gospel clearly teaches these three principles. First, grace alone. We are justified, that is, forgiven of our sins, saved, that is, rescued from certain death and hell, and given eternal life in heaven as God's gracious gift. The truth shall make you free. You shall not make yourself free. The truth shall. What truth? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The truth sanctifies. That is, the truth makes you holy. Jesus prayed to his Father, "Sanctify them by your truth." Nobody can sanctify himself, and nobody can save himself. The reason we cannot make ourselves holy and we cannot rescue ourselves from our sins is that our sins are more powerful than we are. Humanity flatters itself with the false doctrine known as free will. It sounds good. It teaches us that we all have a free will to choose the good and avoid the evil. Otherwise, we can't be held responsible for our actions. We must be free in order to be accountable. Therefore, we all have a free will in spiritual matters. Therefore, our salvation is a matter of our own choice. It's a matter of choosing to do what is right and carrying through with the right decision. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? But this is lying, twisted, and demonic reason. It is a conceit that leads one to hell. Just choose the good and avoid the evil and you'll find your way to heaven. Well, of course you will. But what about your sins? What about your guilt? What does the Bible say? St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." That's St. Paul. If we are not saved by God's grace alone, we are not saved at all. It isn't a matter of our being required to choose love over hatred. It's a matter of our doing what we are required to do. Have you? Listen, the law doesn't say do your best. It says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Have you? You have not? Then the law shuts your mouth, says you're guilty, and condemns you. And should some religious know-it-all come up to you and tell you that you must choose your way out of your sin or decide your way back to God, don't you believe him. For as soon as you rely on your own choice and your own decision to do anything good, in comes God's law to silence your boasts and remind you of your guilt. The Ten Commandments are not yours to use to justify yourself while you judge your neighbor. God's law judges you and indicts you and condemns you, and there is nothing you can do to escape. You need God's grace. You are lost without God's grace. You haven't got a prayer unless God saves you by his grace alone. The truth shall make you free. Nothing less will do. And without the truth, you are a slave. As Jesus went on to say, whoever sins is a slave of sin. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Only if the Son graciously, that is, freely in love and without any help from you or anyone else, sets you free from your sin, your death, and the power of the devil over you, will you ever be set free. As St. Paul reminds us, you are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's St. Paul. Grace alone means Christ alone. Christ alone did the good works we needed to have done by obeying God's law for us. Christ alone suffered the penalty for our sins by dying in our place. Christ alone has washed away all sins by his blood. Christ is, as St. Paul puts it, a propitiation by his blood. In other words, his blood takes away God's anger against us by taking away all of our sins. That's what grace means. Jesus has won for us forgiveness of sins and everlasting life in heaven, and God gives it to us freely. It is by God's grace alone. There are false notions of what grace is. Some say that the grace that saves us is a quality or ability that God gives us so that we can do what needs to be done to be saved. They mix grace with works. They talk about grace, but teach salvation by works. They begin with grace, but end up in works. They offer the gift of God with one hand and take it away with the other. St. Paul rejects this sleight of hand in Romans 11, verse 6, where he writes, "And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work." If your good works help to save you in any way, you are not saved by grace alone, and Jesus is not really your Savior. And you are not saved by faith alone. Faith receives the forgiveness of sins and eternal life that grace gives. God by grace gives. By his giving, he works faith to receive what he gives. Faith doesn't earn God's grace. Faith receives it. Faith alone receives it. It is through faith alone you shall know the truth. The truth does not set you free by some kind of medicinal indwelling, as if by taking a pill of spiritual penicillin you get better. You don't have to believe in penicillin for it to work. Grace works through faith. Apart from faith, nobody has ever received God's grace. The truth shall make you free. How? The truth captures your heart and your mind. It penetrates into you and works faith in you. You believe. You don't believe by an act of your will. You believe by God's grace alone. As St. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you continue in my word, Jesus says, faith remains in God's word. Faith not only listens, it hears, it believes, it lives from what it receives. As the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Jesus uses the word know as a synonym for faith. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Faith is not our work, it is God's gracious work. Through the Word, God elicits faith, nourishes faith, sustains faith, defends faith, and keeps us steadfast in the one true faith until we die. Nowadays, it is considered bad form to think that you know the truth. To say, with conviction, I know, is regarded as boastful and chauvinistic. We are told to express our faith in terms of our opinions or feelings, but not as if what we believe is actually true. And why is faith, as confidence in the truth, so denigrated? Because unbelievers are the ones in charge of the conversation. We Christians want Jesus, not unbelievers, to set the tone of the conversation about religion. And Jesus said, "You shall know the truth." He who is the truth described the faith of his disciples as knowing the truth. Not opining, not feeling, not wishing or thinking, but knowing. True faith is confidence. Confidence in what? Confidence in everything God tells us. It believes that everything God says is true, because God himself is truth. This brings us to the last of the three solas, Scripture alone, the Word of God that reveals grace and works faith, is the Word of God that is written down for us in the Bible. Since God's Word is written down for us, we must consult what is written down in the Holy Scriptures if we want to know what God says. How do you judge your preacher's preaching? By the Bible. How do you know that the Catechism sets forth the truth? By the Bible. Listen to how we Lutherans confess the principle of Scripture alone. The last of the Lutheran confessions, the Formula of Concord, written in 1577, begins with these words: "We believe, teach, and confess that the prophetic and apostolic writings of the Old and New Testaments are the only rule and norm according to which all doctrines and teachers alike must be appraised and judged. The Scriptures alone are the standard for our teaching, for our confessing, and for our believing. We know what we know about God and His will for us from the Bible." Now, it's true that men wrote the Bible, but God directed what they wrote so that He preserved them from all error, and He guided them to write everything He wanted them to write exactly as He wanted them to write it. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth." You want the truth? Read the Bible. Faithfully attend a church where the Bible is preached and taught in its truth and purity, and pay attention. Attend a Bible class where the true Word of God is taught. Read, mark, learn, and take to heart what is written in the Bible. That's how you'll be a true disciple of Christ, holding the true faith, continuing to receive the freedom that Jesus alone can provide. When it comes to spiritual matters, we don't know what's going on. God knows. God knows how to rescue us from our sins. It's by His grace alone. Left up to us, we try to work our way to heaven. God knows how we receive this salvation. It is through faith alone. God knows how we can know what to believe. It is by Scripture alone. As we celebrate the reformation of the church that God brought about through His servant Martin Luther, we thank God for preserving for us today these three principles: grace alone, faith alone, and Scripture alone. We pray that He'll keep us steadfast in His word and truth unto the end, that we may enjoy true freedom here in time and hereafter in eternity. We thank you for being with us today. If you'd like to come and listen to the word of God proclaimed and to sing praises to God at one of our congregations, we, during these winter months, have church at Mayville, First American Lutheran Church at Mayville, at 8:30, and Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston at 10:45. Please tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.